It's a blessing to be here with you guys and to see the group of men taking the time out of a busy week to invest in your walk with the Lord. And I tell you, that's so encouraging to me, and I'm sure it's a tremendous encouragement to your wives if you're married, and your children. They get to see the benefits, the fruit of what you're investing in. And so that's wonderful, man. If you have your Bibles, if you'd open up with me tonight to Daniel chapter 2, and I'm not going to take up much of your time, just give you somewhat of an introduction and spend the majority of the time in fellowship one with another, interacting, which is really the goal of these gatherings together. And iron sharpening iron, men with one another and encouraging each other in our walks with the Lord. But Daniel chapter 2 tonight, just a couple of verses. If you begin in verse 1, it says, "Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king." Father, we pray tonight that you would speak to us, Lord. You would reveal your word to us. Lord, your word says in Deuteronomy that the secret things belong to the Lord. And so, Father, we pray that you would reveal those to us in Jesus' name. Amen. If I was to have a title for this message, and it's not a full message, I was thinking about it today, I'd call it "I Had a Dream." That's what I would call it. But nonetheless, here in Daniel chapter 1 was written in the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim, who was the king of Judah. Chapter 2 of Daniel was written in the second year of King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar began his reign, the Bible tells us, in the fourth year of King Jehoiakim. And thus, between chapters 1 and chapter 2, it's been about 3 years. You remember, 3 years since Daniel and his friends were carried away into Babylon. And they had been selected to be indoctrinated, to serve in the courts of King Nebuchadnezzar. And it was the desire of their captors, really, to strip them of their identity, who they were, to make them into Babylonians. And yet instead, we find that they made an uncompromising commitment to the Lord. And the Lord blessed Daniel and his friends for that commitment. In fact, the Bible tells us that they increased in knowledge and skill and understanding that was 10 times greater than those who were in the courts of the king. Now, while serving in the administration of Babylon, a crisis came into the kingdom in the form of a dream that the Lord brought to King Nebuchadnezzar. And what we come to find out is that this dream was actually orchestrated by God. There are at least 16 other places in the Old Testament where the Lord has spoken or revealed truth in the form of a dream. This particular dream for King Nebuchadnezzar, we read here that it was troubling. It produced anxiety and a lack of sleep. The word "troubled" means to be in deep disturbance that induces apprehension. In his anxiety, the king became desperate to find answers. I suppose being a world ruler of a world-dominating empire could be a little stressful. Perhaps that's why he was anxious and could not sleep, because of the great responsibility that he had. But in the midst of his trouble, it's interesting who he calls out to: his magicians, his astrologers, his sorcerers, the Chaldeans. It's always interesting to note to whom or to what people turn to in their time of trouble, in their time of anxiety. Some turn to drugs, some to alcohol to cope with the troubles of life. Others turn to other things, pleasure perhaps, a horoscope, whatever it is. They're looking for some kind of answer to help them cope with the demands that they're facing. And so this dream is troubling, and we move from the dream of the king to the demands of the king. And I'm going to paraphrase for you for the sake of time. But as the king begins to make demands, he calls this group together, and he demands that they tell him what his dream is, and they also give him the interpretation of the dream. There's only one problem with that equation: the king doesn't tell them what the dream is. And all of these people are saying, "Listen, you just tell us what you dream, king, and we'll tell you what it means." Oh, no, 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 no. Whether the king forgot it or he was testing them, the Bible doesn't say. But he doesn't tell them what the dream is. He starts making these demands. They're unrealistic. They're irrational, but he wants to see if these guys are really in touch with the gods, as they say they are. Well, let's put them to the test, and let's find out if they really know anything at all. And so they begin to be worried about this. They start talking to the king, and they can't tell him what his dream means. And, I mean, they are very diplomatic. The king lived forever. I mean, let's just start there. King, live forever. Could you just tell us your dream? And the king wouldn't have it. And as they were reasoning and dialoguing with the king, these men realize their own limitations. King, we can't help you. They said, no one, interesting, they'll say, no one on earth can help you. We're limited in what we can do. We can't help you with this. Only those who are in touch with God, we just can't do it. There's just no way. There's nobody on earth that can do this. And by saying these things, in one sense, they were admitting that they did not have divine access or insight into such matters. We can't do it. We're limited. Because these men failed to give an answer to the king, he went from being troubled to being anxious to being furious. You move from the dream of Nebuchadnezzar to the demands of Nebuchadnezzar to the decree of King Nebuchadnezzar. And the decree was this: all of you guys are going to die unless you tell me what my dream is and what I dreamed and what it means. If you don't tell me that, you guys just know this: you're going to be burned. Your whole house is going to be turned into a dung heap. So let it be written. I mean, this is what was going to happen. He had all authority. And this was the ultimatum, this decree that the king gave. If the wise men couldn't give the king what he wanted, they were all to be put to death. And this went out to everybody, not just the Chaldeans and the sorcerers. This reached all the way to Daniel and his friends. They also would be put to death if no answer was found for the king. But this is what I wanted to bring us to, guys. This is the one point that I really felt like the Lord was ministering to me today as it relates to Daniel. And it says in verse 17... or verse 16 rather. So Daniel went in and he asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Verse 19, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision, and so Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel sees this crisis, and in the midst of this crisis, it reveals what kind of man Daniel is. And every crisis does. Crises don't make the man, they reveal what's in the man. Where he turns to, where his resolve is, where his strength comes from. And as this crisis comes into Daniel's life, he immediately, what does he do about it? He responds to it in a way he begins to seek the Lord. First, he goes in boldness and asks the king, give me time. Look, give me time to get the answer for you. And then Daniel goes into the secret place with his friends and they begin to seek the Lord. And I love that it says they seek the Lord for mercy. They're not coming to the Lord on the basis of they're worthy of an answer. He's just saying, God, be merciful to us. Lord, we're seeking your mercies. Reveal the truth to us. Show us what to do in this situation. This is a crisis. We don't know how to respond. Lives are on the line here. I don't know what to do. Show me what to do. Daniel gets on his knees and he seeks the Lord. Guys, you might be in a crisis tonight. Maybe there's a crisis on your job and things aren't looking good. And the boss is coming around saying, hey, we have to make some cutbacks here pretty soon. Or this account fell through, or this thing's happening. Or you don't know if that's going to come through. And all these things are kind of out there and it's somewhat crisis-like. And or maybe it's a crisis in your marriage. Things just aren't going well. You're not talking. You're not dialoguing. You're living in separate rooms but in the same house. And it's just a mess. And you think, Lord, what do I do? This is what we do, guys. We seek the mercy of God. And so often God allows things like this, where we have nowhere else to go but to him. There is no one on earth who can help the situation. There is no counselor. There is no astrologer. There's no doctor who can help with this. Only God is able to minister to this need. And the great news is God is able. He's able. And so we turn to him and Lord, show me what to do. Lord, help me I have no idea, no direction. Show me the secret thing, Lord, show me. And listen, guys, this is so powerful because as Daniel seeks the Lord in this time of crisis, seeking his mercy, praying to the Lord, we find, I love this word, it says in verse 19, then. When? After he sought the Lord? Then. Then the Lord revealed what the secret was. You remember Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, when you pray, go into your room. When you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's exactly what Daniel does. He goes into the secret place. He seeks the Lord for an answer that only God himself could give, and God gave him the answer that he needed. Guys, do you need an answer tonight? Are you in some kind of crisis? Are you seeking the will of God? Are you wondering, Lord, what's next for me? What do I do? What do I do with my son? What do I do with my daughter? How do I minister to my wife? How do I deal with an ailing parent who is now having to be taken care of and looked after? And I just, Lord, don't know what to do. And it's these very things that God uses in my life and in your life to bring me to the end of myself and bring me to seek the Lord. And as I seek the Lord, you know what I've found? And I'm sure you have too, that he's faithful to answer. That he's faithful to show me what I do not know. You remember the prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Guys, call upon the Lord. He'll show you what to do. Wait upon the Lord. He'll reveal what to do. And Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he'll have mercy on him and to our God. He'll abundantly pardon. For the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. I don't always know what God's doing. I don't always know what his intention or his purpose is, but I do know that it's good. Ultimately, for me, I want to conclude by saying, as Daniel sought wisdom in the midst of this crisis for information that he needed that he did not have, he, after the Lord responded to his cry and revealed to him the secret, Daniel, it says he blessed the Lord. Man, that's the proper response for us. In the midst of the crisis, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the unanswered questions, it is a choice that we have to make. I will bless the Lord. I will choose to praise him. I don't know why. I don't know when it's going to change or if it's going to change. But even if it doesn't, I will still bless the Lord. And Daniel goes on, and you'll see it in your study tonight, to bless the Lord for so many different things concerning his character, concerning his nature. And again, verse 22, he blesses him because he reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you. How important it is, guys. The secret things belong to the Lord. You need wisdom tonight? I could use some wisdom. Lord, show me what to do. The Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll give liberally to all who ask. Just seek him. The Bible says, when you seek him, you will find him when? When you search for him with all your heart. Amen? So if you need answers tonight, it's my prayer for you, and we prayed for you guys even before. Upstairs, we prayed that the answers that you need, the wisdom that you need for whatever situation or crisis or whatever's going on right now, as you seek the Lord tonight in your groups, I pray that God would speak through the other men that are in your group, that they don't even know what's going on in your life. They don't know the situation, but through the study and through the time, God's going to speak to you. God's going to minister to you tonight. And I'm confident that the Lord's going to answer in his perfect time. Shall we pray? Father, this evening, we do thank you that, as your word says, the secret things belong to the Lord. Lord, you know everything. Lord, your ways are not our ways. We don't always understand, but your understanding, your word says, is infinite. And so we come to you humbly tonight as men, just saying, God, show us your way. Lord, you give us the answer. We don't want to tell you what you should do. We want you to tell us what we need to do. And so, like Daniel and like his friends, those four brothers seeking the Lord, as we go into the groups tonight, as brothers, as we seek the mercy of God, Lord, reveal the secret things, Lord, the hidden things that we don't yet know. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Praise you for these brothers tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Love you guys. God bless you tonight.